The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And so what I'd like to talk about tonight is related to that theme. And in particular, I'm interested in exploring, how hard it is in our daily lives to bring mindfulness to the most challenging situations. I sometimes get asked that question, you know, it's like, well, we practice in sitting meditation, being with our emotions, but, you know, I find it's just so hard when I'm in the midst of a conversation with somebody not to have that reactivity just spill all over the place. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit this evening. You know, I've seen this too in my own practice, how hard it can be to bring this mindfulness practice into our daily lives, especially when there's some reactivity happening. Things happen so fast. You know, somebody says something and there's an explosion of response in, you know, our heart starts to pound and we have a flare and we may start to speak or act or do something almost without really being conscious of it. And it happens like that. It happens so fast. It's a little different than in our sitting practice. You know, when we're in our sitting practice, we may find that a memory, for instance, triggers something in our emotions. We have a reaction to a memory that's arisen, or something about the future, a plan for the future has arisen, and we find our emotional reactivity is brought up. And there, in our sitting practice, our instruction is usually, see if you can let go of the thoughts, let go of the contents, and just feel the feelings. What does it feel like to be feeling anger in the body? What does it feel like in the mind? How is the mind? There may be anger, but there might be other things going on. There may be self-righteousness. There may be sadness. There may be confusion. And so just kind of in our sitting, we can take the time. We really have the luxury of exploring our reactions in the sittings. In our daily life, you know, it's like we're having a conversation with somebody and it erupts, and it's like we can't say to the other person, wait a minute, stop the content. I need to be with my feelings and my body right now. You know, that's just not the normal mode of interaction. So how do we do this? How do we work with this? One of the keys to realize is that, it's a slow process for this to happen. It can happen. It does transfer. Our practice in our sitting of learning how to be with our emotions, learning what it's like to feel our emotions in the body, it gives us some training. It does give us some experience and exposure to what it means to meet our difficult emotions. But one of the main distinctions in sitting and in daily life is that in the sitting we do have the luxury of letting go of the content, letting go of the thoughts, and we don't so much have that luxury in our daily lives. And so one of the key areas of exploration is working with content in our daily lives, working with it in the moment. Because that's often, you know, somebody's saying something and we're responding to the content of what they're saying. It's very much it's coming in through the world of our thoughts. And so in our sitting practice, we practice letting go of our thoughts. We practice letting go of that area, and we don't take a lot of time to explore how thoughts impact us. So in the guided meditation, I actually encouraged you, if you notice the mind wandering off into thought, that when you notice that moment when you noticed that you actually take some time to not have the agenda to come immediately back to some chosen object of mindfulness, but to hover in the space that had been created after that thought had come up. Thoughts have a huge impact on our minds and our bodies. It's quite amazing how even a single word can alter your experience. And so a whole thought often will have some kind of an impact. It may be, you know, you remember, for instance, a thought about an argument you had with a friend. And what happens when you remember a thought like that? Often the feelings associated with that event come in. And so in our sitting meditation, one way to begin to cultivate some of the tools that will help us in daily life is to not simply say, push that away and say, oh, what I'm doing right now is paying attention to the breath, but rather take some time to explore, oh, that thought has arisen. How am I now that I'm aware again? What is the impact of that thought on my experience? And so we begin in our sitting meditation to see how content impacts us. We are still encouraged in our sitting to let go of the content, not to dwell on the content, but it's also helpful not necessarily jump over the experience that the content has created in our meditation, in our hearts and minds. You know, the arising of a thought will generate a new landscape, as I said in the meditation. So take the time to get familiar with that landscape. See how it feels to be in that landscape before returning to the breath. And as I also suggested in the guided meditation, it can be helpful to use the tool of relaxation in that place as well. So that's one of the first tools to explore in working with content, to practice with it in our sittings a little bit, you know. But when thoughts arise organically or naturally, practice with how you feel in response to that. And I'll talk about some other tools in just a minute, but I'd like to kind of lay a larger terrain around some of our emotional reactivity in our daily lives. So much of our emotional reactivity is, it's very familiar, you know. We find ourselves reacting in similar ways across a wide variety of experiences. And this is a lot because of the way we were brought up, how we were conditioned. We tend to each have some kind of favorite ways of reacting. And so it can be helpful to get familiar with those. You know, when we're not mindful, when we're not aware, those kind of familiar habits of reactivity often are in charge. You know, they're kind of running the show. When we're not aware and present, those habits of mind will have us like acting on autopilot, responding in ways that we've habitually responded in the past. So if we can start to take an interest in the familiar and habitual ways that we respond and react in the world, it really begins to help us in our lives to start to release those habits. The very light of awareness on those habits begins to decondition them, begins to allow them to start to let go. So if we start to take an interest in these patterns, these habits, we also begin to see some of the deeper currents of what motivates us, the deeper movements of, well, most of us, I think, there's three basic ways that we might meet the world. Some of us might meet the world from a perspective of, boy, don't like that, want to get rid of that. You know, that we kind of enter into the terrain looking for things to not like and to get rid of. That's my favorite. I would walk into some place and start saying, well, that's bad, that's wrong, got to get rid of that. I mean, I would miss the things that were nice about the places I walked into. Other people have a different orientation. They have the orientation of seeing what they like and kind of ignoring the parts that they don't like. So moving towards, oh, I like that, more of that. Oh, can I have that to take home with me? You know, kind of that perspective of wanting to get things that we like, with the first one being the wanting to get rid of things we don't like. And then there's a kind of a response of not being sure of what's going on. You know, kind of walking into a room and going, what's going on here? And not necessarily picking up on, it's kind of more of a space of confusion rather than being really either clear about what you like or don't like. It's like, huh? What's here? It may be more that kind of person is involved in their inner world rather than the outer world. So beginning to use mindfulness to explore our habitual ways of navigating the world. In my own practice, this has been one of the most fruitful explorations. So much of my reactivity, I mean, you know, this is where it happens. It happens in daily life. Our reactivity really, I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road. You know, we're going through life and we're reacting and responding to things. And, you know, when we're sitting in meditation, we sometimes experience some of that stuff. But in daily life, it's happening to us all the time. And my exploration of these habits of mind, these patterns of mind in daily life have borne some of the greatest fruit for the shifts of reactivity in my life. And so I love teaching about this stuff because it's been so supportive for me. It's been so helpful for me in, you know, the willingness to look at our habits and patterns. Can we have the courage, actually, the courage to look at our reactivity rather than being afraid of it or wanting to repress it or to ignore it or just to say, well, that's just me. I just do that. You know, for a while I was like, well, miserable, that's just me. You know, I just do that. Or, you know, loneliness or self-hatred, that's me. But having the courage to start to look at those patterns really begins to have them just begin to fall apart. Now, it's not like that happens in a week. You know, it's often a long process, you know. My pattern around self-hatred, somebody was asking me about this today, and you know, that one I think was about a 5-year process. But 5 years for a pattern as deep as self-hatred to really transform, I mean, that's pretty amazing that the practice can do that. So this exploration of our reactivity in daily life, I really like to encourage this possibility. So one way to begin to explore this reactivity, it's kind of a hybrid between daily life and sitting. So, you know, so imagine you had some experience or some event that happened in your daily life that created quite a bit of reactivity, and you see after the fact that, wow, I lost mindfulness completely there and just acted completely out of my reactivity. So one way to to explore that is to pick a time in your day, pick some time when you have some space, have some time, and consciously bring that situation to mind. And then use your tools of being aware of the experiences that arise based on that content. So this is a situation where rather than seeing what arises spontaneously in the sitting meditation, you actually consciously bring up something that was hard for you in your daily life. There's a four-part process that one of my colleagues suggests around this kind of exploration. And she uses four R's to help remember this tool, these tools. First, relax. Start with relaxation. You're going to be looking at something challenging in your experience, something where you reacted in your daily life. So remind yourself at the beginning, you know, this is something I'm doing to learn from, not to beat myself up about. So knowing that you're going into this with the possibility of undoubtedly, actually, that you will experience some of the same reactivity in bringing up the thoughts. It's very, the thoughts and the reactivity are very intertwined. And so when you bring up those thoughts of that situation, you'll undoubtedly feel some of the same feelings that you felt. And so you know you're walking into this, putting yourself into a challenging situation. And so begin by letting yourself relax. I think my colleague Annie said, get in a tub, make yourself comfortable, get yourself, feel really cozy, find a way to feel comfortable as you're doing this exploration. Then the second step is review. Think back over the situation. Bring it to mind step by step. As you're doing this, as you're remembering the situation, don't just think about it. Allow yourself, with each part that you think about, allow yourself to recognize, how does that impact me? Very similar to what I was talking about in the guided meditation. Instead of thoughts arising kind of organically and seeing how you respond, you're seeing how you're responding to a thought you're putting into your mind. So you're seeing how you respond to content that you've chosen to engage with. So there's the content and there's the response. So take some time to kind of alternate. Here's the content, and how does that content land? How does that make me feel? And then go back to the next piece of the content. And how does that make me feel? So you may have to slow down the scenario a little bit to do this. So that's the reviewing. The reviewing includes a kind of a mindfulness of the content. I mean, mindfulness of how the content impacts you. What my teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya, talks, in engaging with the world, he talks about we have to be attentive to content in the world. You know, we can't go through life just lifting, moving, placing, seeing, hearing. You know, we have to engage with the world and our thoughts, our plans, our, you know, what we need to buy for dinner, putting the onion and the potato in the soup together. I mean, we engage with content. We have to engage with content. And some of that content brings up emotions. So this begins to explore how to engage with content. And Sayadaw Utejaniya says, half of the attention on the content of what you're doing, and half of the attention on how you are with that. So my way of phrasing that is, how does that content impact you? About half of your attention on how it impacts you. So that's relax and review. The third part is reflect. Reflect on potentially how you might have done it differently, how the Dharma might have supported you, what Dharma might have supported you, what kind of Dharma teachings might have supported you. You know, the recollection, these are just emotions happening now, or this is impermanent, these kinds of reflections, or I'm not coming up with others in the moment. How might the practice of mindfulness have helped me? How might wise speech have helped me? Where could I have said things more skillfully? Did I bring in the tools of looking at, is this what I'm saying true? Is it kind? So, you know, just reflecting on the situation in terms of how you might have engaged a little differently. Not to beat yourself up about it. This is the learning part. This is the learning part. So it's not to tell yourself, wow, you know, I did that really badly, but to say, oh, I see I could have done this with a little more compassion. I could have engaged here with a little more wisdom. So that's relax, review, reflect. And the fourth is, we could say, resolve, which is to think about, given a situation like that in the future, how might you step into that? To consider how you might apply some of that Dharma wisdom that you reflected on, how you might use that in the future. This is kind of setting your intention, not to say you have to do this or, you know, you're a bad person, but kind of, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to engage with this in the future. I'm going to try to be a little kinder in my speech. I'm going to try to be a little less contracted about my point of view. See if I can open to other perspectives. Resolving, seeing what you might take forward out of this reflection. Now, this process doesn't have to take very long. And what I'd like to do, actually, is do it with you right now for a few minutes and just see what happens, you know. So it can be helpful to start with relaxation. So let's just start by letting your body relax, taking maybe a couple of deep breaths. And just connect with how you are right now. Just being with how you are, no need to change it or try to make something different happen. You may be experiencing some energy in the body or aware of sound. Seeing if you can be with that and allow there to be as much relaxation as possible. So now I'd like you to call to mind some time in your daily life when you got caught or stuck or there was some reactivity that happened, maybe just something that happened in the past week or so. As you recall the situation, let yourself remember some of the details, who you were with, where you were. And as you're doing this, as you're recalling this, how are you now? How does it make you feel now? And keep coming back to that. Let yourself recall a little bit more about the situation. Perhaps what you said, or if there was another person involved, what the other person said, or what you did. And again, how are you right here, right now, with that experience? How does it feel here and now? If there's more to reflect on, the situation, the event, you can bring that into mind and come back again. How is it to reflect on that? How does it feel in the body? How are you in the body? Is there tension? Is there ease? Contraction? Pulling, vibration, pulsing. Moisture, heat, coolness. So let yourself take in the body. How is the mind? What kind of emotions are present? Going back to the situation, feeling into the experience here and now. And now let yourself let go of the active recalling of the situation. Let yourself take a few breaths. See if you can bring some relaxation. And then ask yourself the question, what might have supported more ease, more peace, more presence in that situation? Is there anything you can think of that might have supported more mindfulness or compassion or open-heartedness in that situation? Letting yourself reflect on your own wisdom. And if you notice the mind tending towards a harsh or judgmental tone, see if you can allow that to let go and bring in more of a sense of friendliness or kindness in this reflection. If the question resonates for you, how might the Dharma have supported me in this situation? And now letting go of that reflection too. At a later time, you can reflect back and think about whether there's something you'd like to carry forward. But for now, just come into how you are right now. If there's any residual reactivity present, allowing that, not resisting that, opening to it, and seeing if you can just leave the content at this point, not engage with the content, but just feel how are you right now? And now to end, I'd like you to just explore taking a couple of deeper breaths. And I'm going to offer you a couple of words. See how these words land for you. See whether these words have any resonance. Ease. Relaxation. Open-heartedness. Peace. So how was that for you? Anybody willing to say a few words about anything you noticed? Could you wait for a moment and for the mic? Some people need it for their hearing.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. It was very settling because I arrived with a situation in my head from today that I felt ashamed about, you know, that why did I vent yet again? And I find I get stuck in the beating myself up as though that's going to, you know, the mind helping the mind somehow, our little
yes
game that somehow is supposed to set it straight, but just digs it deeper, and so I appreciated that part. Where you, I've heard it before, but that releasing the beating up, it just holds us in place, holds me in place.
Yes.
And it's so yeah odd how we learn that. At least I share some self-hatred qualities myself, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, thank you. I like that framing of relax, reflect.
Relax, review, reflect. Resolve.
Yeah.
And actually, I've written this up, and I don't have copies of it to hand out, but I will post it with the talk. So it will be available, a little handout you can download from Audio Dharma. So it will be, this description will be available if you can't remember it. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else want to say a word or two? Yeah.
I also have a lot of contraction and shame around the incidents. It's a series of incidents, actually, that I was thinking of. And somehow the word ease seems to be looms large as the thing I'm missing the most. It just, well, what came to mind is take it easy. Just take it easy.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, the whole thing had a different aura to it.
Uh-huh. So that was the Dharma wisdom that came in. Take it easy. Beautiful. And then you felt a response. Yeah.
I felt, well, now that's, it became more possible to actually deal with it differently in the future.
And so you saw in the moment, so what I want to point to is you saw in the moment how that wisdom impacted your experience in the moment, and that gave you the sense, the intuitive sense that that was wisdom, that that was a good direction. So this is how this kind of exploration can work. It can you know, point to those kinds of things. Maybe one more, if there's, yeah, Helen.
So, yeah, that was great for me. I finally found. I'm gonna apply that at work. So so very soon. So I deal with one person who's nagging a lot, and so I've been working on reacting properly and having. And so every time that I review that situation, I'm proud of how I handled it. Yet I don't understand why it keeps. Why I keep obsessing over it. So, and this time I realized that I put a shield up, and that shield physically, what happens, even though I talk appropriately, I'm tensing my shoulder, I'm stopping my breath, and I have a series, it's very depleting of my energy, and it's not the other person who's doing that. I have the choice to. So in that moment, in that meditation that we just did, I just realized I have the choice of not contracting.
That's beautiful.
And so hopefully.
Oh, that's amazing. That's great. And that's more Dharma wisdom, you know. The choice is there. The choice is in this being. So this is kind of the first step, I think, in seeing how the practice can carry into life. And this is, you know, this is like a tool that we can use anytime there's a challenging situation. You know, if you've reflected on it and thought, wow, you know, that one's kind of got me stuck, you can use this and then see how it carries forward into your life. This is kind of along the lines of, you know, practicing. You're rehearsing the situation in your mind. You know, and seeing how you are with it. So it's like giving yourself the space to have that interaction without anybody else there, and given a full set of time where you know you've got enough time and space to work with the responses. So this is a first step. Now, to go the next step would be to begin to explore some of these patterns right in the midst of our lives, you know, as they're coming up in real time. And I have a little bit of time left, so I think I'll explore that with you a little bit. I have a little bit that I can say. So what I'd suggest for this part is to just pick one. After you reflect, I mean, you probably all kind of know what your favorite reactive patterns are. So pick one of those that you're interested in understanding. So for me, my very first project in my mindfulness practice in my practice as a whole, basically, was that anger was ruling my life, and I was really interested in understanding that. So I think the interest is key. At least I saw for myself. It was really helpful to have that interest. Now, there is probably going to be a little bit of an agenda that we're interested in doing this in order to get rid of it. And, hold that one lightly. Because really the way this unfolds is that if we can be interested in familiarizing ourselves with the pattern, interested in getting to know the pattern, the transformation around the pattern happens on its own. One of my teachers, same teacher I was quoting before, Sayadaw Tejan Nia, says, your job is just to observe. You know, the wisdom, the letting go, the understanding kind of happens organically. You're not in charge of that part. We can listen to information, we can hear it, and yet in terms of meeting our experience, our job is to get to know it, to understand it. The very understanding, and by understanding, I don't mean thinking about or reflecting on, well, why is this coming up? You know, oh, right, I was always like that when I was a kid, and they were like that on the playground, and I got, you know, whatever. You know, we think back through our history and understand it through our thoughts sometimes. What I mean by understanding a pattern is, what is it like to have that pattern happening in the present moment? And in particular, how does it impact the body, and what other emotions might be present at the same time? So picking one that's interesting for you, one that you're interested in being familiar with. And then the resolve that I made around my first practice there with anger, I said to myself, anytime anger comes up, I'm going to notice it. I'm going to be mindful of it. So I made that commitment to myself. I'm going to be mindful of my anger whenever it comes up. Now, sometimes, you know, little angers would probably come up and I didn't particularly notice them. But when the big angers came up, mindfulness kicked in at some point, because, you know, it was kind of like I was in a loop and, you know, kind of stuck in a rut. And mindfulness, I mean, I was not getting out of the rut. And mindfulness at some point, like, came in. It's like, oh, right, I'm angry. Right, oh, this is not pleasant. So I began to get familiar with what that feeling was. So just kind of commit to yourself. For this one thing, you know, I would suggest picking one that kind of you're interested in, that you feel might benefit you to understand, and then see if you can have that commitment to wake up for it, to be aware of it when it happens. Now, if you're picking another time I did this around impatience, and because I began to see impatience was just everywhere in my life, so. I just began kind of being curious. Well, I'm going to see if I can notice impatience. And I missed a lot of them at first. Actually, it's pretty clear to me I missed a lot of them. But some of the more obvious ones, like I'd be standing in a grocery store line and like tapping my, sorry, oh, impatience, here's impatience. Okay, what is it like? What is it like to be impatient? So just whenever I noticed it, I would be aware of it. And as I started to notice that pattern, got familiar with the feeling of impatience, I started to notice it like everywhere. You know, I'd be brushing my teeth and I'd be impatient. I'd be, you know, walking down the street, going somewhere, and I'd be impatient with like how this isn't an actual experience, but it's like some of the experiences. It's like, you know, I could be impatient with how the sidewalk was formed. You know, I have to step this way and go that way. It'd be like, you know, impatience around the simplest, trivial little things. And so what I began to see was just how pervasive that pattern was in my mind. I knew it was pervasive. I had no idea how pervasive it was. And so the the familiarity began to help me see the pattern, not only when it was strong, and like, you know, I was really impatient in reacting and, you know, saying impatient things to people, you know, when it kind of expressed itself, but also in just the little kind of eruptions of, you know, opening a drawer and having it stick a little bit, and how impatience, you know, just a little impatience flares in that. So I began to see all of the little ways in which it comes. And the familiarity with the pattern was what allowed that. And then I started to notice, like, you know, at one point, it was kind of a couple months into this project of looking at impatience. And I was walking down the street, and I noticed some small impatience flare up. I was like, okay, that's impatience. And I saw, the next thought was, I've been looking at this for 2.5 months. When is this going to go away? You know, it's like, ah, there it is again, you know. And then I had to laugh, you know, just like, it's like, I had to laugh. And at that point, it got much, you know, it's kind of like, it just became like, wow, look at this, you know, look at this mind, how deeply embedded this pattern is into this mind. And so, you know, I definitely still experience impatience, but, you know, it's so much lighter for me now. And, you know, that first pattern I looked at, the anger pattern, there were big transformations around that, really big transformations. The willingness to just be with it, every time it arose, within the space of about a week, I mean, in the initial exercise of that, you know, it was such a strong feedback loop. You know, the anger would appear, and then thoughts about the person I was angry with would appear and make me more angry. And it would spiral into rage. You know, I would be pretty much non-functional, just frozen, not able to do anything when I would remember. But this simple practice of just saying to myself, okay, I'm going to wake up when I'm angry. I'm going to be aware of it. Within a week, that intense rage wasn't happening anymore. Anger was still happening, but I almost immediately saw the benefits of this. So, you know, while I was still finding anger arise in daily life, I was beginning to see how the practice was supporting the letting go of it. And it was a couple years for that anger to fully dissipate, but it did fully dissipate through this kind of exploration. So, now the main, I kind of, some key things, some brief suggestions about looking at patterns like this in daily life. Because we don't really, you know, in the midst of daily life, we don't really have the time. Like I said, you know, you're having a conversation with somebody. You know, you can't just say, stop. I need to, like, take a few minutes and close my eyes. And, you know, we need to learn some basic tools for kind of meeting these difficult emotions. Just kind of the gestalt of them, kind of the big picture of them. So four basics. What's obvious for me in that situation with anger? What was obvious was, this doesn't feel good. This is unpleasant. That was kind of the obvious hit I got. A second suggestion, especially if you're with other people, see if you can ground yourself in non-harming in terms of action. A third suggestion, see if you can refrain from acting out of that space, if possible. You know, you see a flare of anger. When you can be aware of that, you can just be mindful of that, you may be able to not speak, for instance, not reach out and throw something at your partner, which I did at one point. I kicked a hole in a wall once, you know. had a lot of anger. So, you know, if you can be aware of your feeling, you may be able to not act out of it. Just allow the feeling. It's not about repressing the feeling, but it's also seeing if that you may not express it. And the fourth, kind of basic, get good at cleaning up the mess. You know, we will make mistakes. We will forget. We'll find ourselves having erupted in saying something out of anger or hostility, and instantly we may like, oh, wish that hadn't come out of my mouth. So part of our work in this kind of practice is to acknowledge when we've done something unskillful. And you know, sometimes what I saw my mind, one thing my mind used to do when I did something unskillful was like it would try, my mind would try to make it okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it would try to figure out some way that was justified. And it went through all kinds of contortions and gyrations to do that. It actually turns out to be much more easeful to just acknowledge, wow, that wasn't helpful. And to, I mean, initially it seemed a really big hurdle to say, wow, that wasn't a good idea. I'm sorry about that. I made a mistake. It felt like I was, you know, disappearing, or I don't know, just felt so threatening to acknowledge I'd done something wrong or that I had acted unskillfully. But once I began to do it, it's like, wow, that's so much easier. You know, I don't have to hold all of this. So these four basics, just notice the obvious, ground yourself in non-harming, see if you can refrain from acting out of reactivity. And when you do, rather than beating yourself up about it, you know, or trying to do those gyrations of how it was okay to do that thing, learn how to make amends. You know, learn how to take that step to make amends. So there's a lot more I can say about this, and I think I'll just continue this theme next week, because there's a lot of other tools and things I've worked with in this kind of situation. So I think I'll just continue next week. So thank you for your attention.